Hello, you are listening to the Nintendo Switch UK podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Nintendo Switch UK podcast. I'm Mike.
I'm Al.
And I'm Anton, and it's lovely to have you back, Mike. How's life been treating you?
Life has been challenging at times, but on the whole, it is. It's the things that challenge you that make you a better person, I think. So, just continuing on, all good. Excited to be back on the show for once. I am recording with my phone, so apologies for the lack of normal crystal clear audio. But unfortunately, I have misplaced my podcast interface, and going to the studio just seems like overkill with the two babies in the house. So there we are. So you'll just have to make do. Anyway, it's great to be on the show. Anton, how are you?
Doing well. It's quite a nice full week of Nintendo Switch news we've got this week. And excited to be delving into it. Have either of you been playing much Nintendo Switch this week?
The funny answer is yes. I mean, I've been playing Switch, but more interestingly, I've been playing Switch with some of our patrons, as has Mike, to be fair. We had a little gaming night on Friday, which is quite good fun. So, met some of our patrons, we sat down, we played, I think, two, if not three, cups of Mario Kart, which was amazing, really good fun, and then we all moved over to Brawlhalla, which none of us had actually properly played before, and I think it's safe to say we're all quite smitten. It was really good fun. There was, I think, a little bit of skepticism to begin with, but we all went into it thinking, yeah, we'll give this a bash, to the point where at least one of our number went and spent the money buying all the unlocked characters. When I say all the characters, I mean all the kind of characters that are normally in the game, not the crossover characters, because as we discovered, if you want to get a skin of somebody like Michelangelo from the Ninja Turtles or one of the characters in The Walking Dead, that's going to cost you £10 worth of real money, and that's just a skin for another character. So, yeah, we didn't do that, but we did have fun playing. It was really, really good fun. And, I mean, over and above that, I have played a bit of GTA 5, finally finished the main story today, which I'm quite chuffed about, and then moved over to Viva Pinata, the Xbox 360 game that I'm playing on Xbox Live. So much fun. I really want that to come to the Switch as a port at some point. Mike, did you enjoy playing games on Friday?
I did. Brawlhalla was a surprise because we started off with some Mario Kart, which is Mario Kart, so we know what to expect, and it's always a good time with Mario Kart. And Brawlhalla, we were looking for a free multiplayer game, or at least a free-to-start multiplayer game that you could do a certain amount with, and Brawlhalla, we thought, well, we'll give this a go. We all downloaded it. Nobody actually had it downloaded. Well, I think you did, actually, Al, randomly. But
I think I had it in my library, but it wasn't downloaded. I think I downloaded it once, right, and I played one fight when it first came out, maybe.
Well, it was good, and I think that is the way to play it. Like, I think for playing it with a group of people, and it's, I mean, it has similarities to a Super Something or Other Bros, but, like, you know, it's
smashing.
It's got its own unique things. Yeah, it was absolutely smashing. I was getting smashed very, very many times. But it was good fun, and I ducked out earlier than you, but I thoroughly enjoyed the short time that I did have with the game, and definitely up for playing more. I've actually been playing Switch in the time that I've not been on the show, so Life is Strange. I bought the remastered pack, the two original the games as well, the sort of original and the prequel. I'm really enjoying that, and I'm going to play through those before I move on to the next one. Weirdly, I haven't got Persona yet, and the reason is, even though it's getting absolutely rave reviews on the Switch, it's like one of the best ports, if not the best port, I'm kind of saving that until I know I've got a big chunk of time to get started on it. So, like, if I've got, like, a travel to do, like, if I'm traveling somewhere, I'll probably do it at that point. So I'm holding off on that, but I've played a bit of Life is Strange. I did download Alan Wake because massive fan. Reports are mixed. I'm going to wait until there's a patch on that because I think there will be, and just in terms of graphical fidelity and yeah, various things. And a bunch of other games that I've sort of started. Turnip Boy Commits Tax Evasion.
Oh, yeah. That did look really good fun. It got very well reviewed.
Yeah, he's cool. It's very cute. It's very simple. It's very kind of, you know, the comedy's pretty good. It's not going to change the way you think about gaming, but it's got something about it that made me want to keep playing, and it's quite a short adventure too, which is kind of cool. Wonder Song, really like that one. That's kind of fun. It's got, like, rhythm elements in it, and it's just fun. Another one that I've suggested in our Discord to download, because it's quite often on sale for very cheap, is Songbird Symphony. Very well animated, really good game. and just really relaxing as well. So I recommend that one. I've been playing a bit of that. And I think there's more. I just want to see if there's anything else that I've dived into a few games. I'm not going to mention them all because we'll be here forever. But definitely those are the ones that that I've kind of mainly been playing. Yeah, and a bit of Mario Party. I played Mario Party last week with some colleagues that were here staying, which was a lot of fun. One of them had never played it before, so that was really good fun. And I'm trying to think. I think that's it. I think that I've got lots of games. I've also been playing my 3DS. That's what I was going to say. Ooh. I've been playing my new 3DS, my new Nintendo 3DS, the NES edition, and I've been playing Kirby Triple Something, and it's really good.
So good, you've forgotten his name.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, it's it's triple X.
If it's triple X, we don't want to know about it.
That's not Kirby, no. but no, it's really good. I'm really enjoying it. And actually, it's weird. I still think the 3DS is just such a good console, like good handheld, and it's different to the Switch.
Well, if you love it so much, Mike, why don't you marry it? Go.
Well, I mean, I was previously, but then I joined the Switch revolution and married the Switch instead, so I made the Switch.
Hey!
So it's good, and so I haven't had an awful lot. Like I've got lots of bits of games that I want to get going on. So tonight I think I'm going to try and play some more Life is Strange. So there we are. That's my review of what I've been doing.
And what about you, Anton? What have you done? Have you been keeping up the Switch side? Are we going to have a hat trick of all three of us actually playing Switch in 1 week?
Sadly, I haven't personally touched my Switch this week. I've been...
Get out. Go away. Get out.
You know, I've been too busy on the Nintendo 3DS UK podcast. No. I have... You know, I continued on my American Truck Simulator rabbit hole. However, I felt like the physics in simulation was a bit sloppy, so I moved over to Simpson Hit and Run, which is naturally a masterpiece with flawless physics and captivating gameplay. I upscaled that game to 4K. It looks gorgeous, despite it technically looking ugly, but I don't care because it's Simpson's Hit and Run, and I just want them to port it to something.
It's an amazing game. Yeah, probably my all-time favorite game, but, you know.
I'm with you. It's just, I don't know anybody that doesn't like that game. You know, it's flawed,
it's so much
but
fun.
Who cares?
It's very flawed. So you've been quite busy, Anton.
Yeah, buying new trucks, managing the configs, getting jobs. It's been very pathetic. It's been brilliant.
Excellent. All right. Well, once again, just before we get started, a reminder that you can find out more about us at nsukp.co.uk. You can sign up as well to our Patreon if you want to support us even more. There are three different tiers. You can go and check them out if you go to /support-us. I should mention as well, you'll both be absolutely devastated that I'm back on the podcast, because that will mean the numbers are going to drop significantly in the listening figures this week.
I may have let slip to Mike the other night that every time our numbers go up and up and up and up, and then just purely by coincidence, the weeks that Mike has been on recently, it's dropped down by like 400 or 500 listeners for no apparent reason other than Mike coming back.
I know why it is. It's the We Hate Mike forum that exists on many platforms. And as soon as the leader of the forum hears that I'm on it, they go, no, just don't download it this week. Don't bother.
It's hilarious. It has literally coincided with the last two shows you've been on. We've had a dip. Oh, I have no idea why.
Well, I'm looking forward to both of our listeners this week enjoying the show.
Excellent. Nah, we're on time this week. We're going to be at top of iTunes. It's going to be great.
Okay, please help us out, by the way. If you want to review the show and give us a nice 5-star, that would be even better. The reviews actually really help us as well with things like chart positioning and just getting our show to as many people as possible. And remember that all the money that we do get in from our Patreons goes back into the show and back into our Patreons, and they get lovely things like mugs and all sorts of goodies. But go check it out on the website, nsukp.co.uk. Right, it is time then for the news.
Tell us that people want to know.
So, Utopian World of Sandwiches have announced Chompy Chomp Chomp. Did you make this game, Al? For the Nintendo Switch. It's an 8-player multiplayer party game. See, I reiterate, did Al make this? It's coming out on the 17th of November. Al, are you going to be getting your chompers into this one?
I mean, I really wish I'd come up with a developer called Utopian World of Sandwiches, and I really wish I'd come up with a game called Chompy Chompy Chomp Party. but it didn't. This is technically actually an older game. It came out in 2016 on the Wii U, and it was probably an underrated title. I think everyone agreed it was really, really good, but I don't think it sold particularly well. So we're finally getting it on the Switch. It's not a complicated party game, but it does look brilliant. I mean, it basically, imagine Pac-Man, but taken to a whole new level with eight of you chasing each other, trying to eat each other around a maze, with funky colours and bright tunes and a couple of different play modes. And this looks really good fun. I gotta say, we do love a party game here at the Nintendo Switch UK podcast. And this one looks right up our street. I just don't know how much it's going to cost you yet.
Yeah, it is very much of that Wii U era. There was a lot of 8-player party games, and it's kind of slowed down as of the last couple of years. And yeah, it's, as you say, it's Pac-Man, but with 8 people, with no ghosts. You're all Pac-Man and you're all eating each other. It's slightly got like snake elements of trying to eat each other's tail. It's simple. I think as long as they charge it appropriately, as they have with stuff like Astro's Party Bears, it could be a good title, Al.
Jumpy, 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 jump. I want this game. I want to buy this game. I want to go around to Mike's house, and I want to put it on his big TV screen, and I want to sit and play this. It just looks like that kind of game that you're going to get your teeth into. You're going to laugh a lot playing, particularly if you've got a bunch of you sitting there. Don't know how well it would work with just two. I suspect that will entirely come down to how good the AI is, but if you've got four of you sitting on your couch, that would be brilliant. If you happen to have a hold of friends, actually, good question for you, Anton. Have you ever, in the entire time you've had your Switch, coupled it to someone else's Switch to do this sort of local LAN gameplay that it can do?
Yes, I've done it a couple times, and I've done it a couple forms. The first one was Splatoon 2, because you can't do any form of split player in that one. And then the other one was, do you remember with Mario Party or Super Mario Party, you could connect multiple Switches? So it was like, they had like a couple different mini games that were only for people with multiple Switches. So like, you'd put like multiple Switches down on the table, and you could like do a maze where you walk from one Switch to the other. But that's been
I didn't know about that. I've got that game. I didn't realize that was hiding in there.
Yeah, I think the caveat is you need to own two copies of it. That's
all right. Mike has a Switch. Mike has that game. I can take my Switch around to his house and we can do this.
And then I can come over and then we can have the longest maze in the history of Super Mario Party, depending on how many people took advantage of that feature. I have not seen many people take advantage of it. They tried a lot of weird, unique stuff with the Switch earlier on, and they've kind of just stuck to it just being a big PlayStation Vita recently.
Okay, next up, Cosmic Nobab Games have announced Lunar Lux, the Nintendo Switch, on Kickstarter. It's going to be published by Freedom Games. It's a tactical turn-based RPG. And as of now, as of today, it's raised $52,699 of its $10,000 goal. I think it's going to hit it. And it's targeting Q4 2013. So, is this, Al, the kind of game that you would look to be playing at some point?
Normally I would probably go, nah, not really, because I don't play that many tactical turn-based RPGs, and this is it's not reinventing the wheel by any means from what I've seen in this, but it does look like a really solid anime-based RPG. It looks, I'm going to say, sort of 16-bit era graphics. It's got very durable, it's very cute, and there's a lot of good stuff going on in it. Probably isn't what I'm going to buy, but there's a lot of people out there very excited, judging by the amount of money it's raised, Anton.
Indeed, I'm kind of a similar vein. If it was just a 16-bit turn-based RPG, I would be like, nah. But, you know, it's got Game Boy Advance vibes for me. You know, it's the scaling slightly bigger, the characters are a little, you know, fuller, it's slightly more detailed, so it's, you know, taking advantage of that 32-bit. And as somebody that grew up with a Game Boy Advance, that tickles me right. You know, it's something a little bit fresh. You know, it's taking pixel art and then presenting it a slightly new way. Got slightly Mega Man vibes from it, the kind of Game Boy Advance DS Mega Man games. So I'm charmed by this one. It looks quite nice.
I think this is actually quite up my street in terms of the design and the presentation of it. I quite like the look of this. I think it's quite classic looking, but it's got different elements. It's got some isometric moments as well, which I kind of like. That's proper throwback for me too. But yeah, I'm kind of intrigued by this one. I'm going to wait to see what people think of it. I'm not going to, I don't think I'll be sort of one of the early adopters of it, but it's definitely one I want to keep my eye on as well. So yeah, interesting one, certainly. The next story this week is, this just
have we gone back in time to 1980 something?
It just cracks me up, and it's kind of cool though. And it's a game I've actually got on my iPad, I think. It's probably the same version. I'm sure I'll be told if different. So HarperCollins Productions have announced The Oregon Trail for the Nintendo Switch, published by Gameloft. It's a survival strategy game coming out 2023. We should say that it is based on the Oregon Trail from 1985 or something like that. Anton, a bit of a history behind this one. I think it's quite nice when we get these sort of really historical titles reimagined, I guess.
Indeed. Such a historic title that is kind of fallen into inaccessibility. The original Oregon Trail was a 1972 text-based adventure before we even had Pong. That's how far back that franchise go back. And then there was a version with graphics in 84. And ever since that iconic version, which most popularly was common in schools for its educational value, but fun enough in its brutalism and its survival aspects to have an enduring kind of reputation with young gamers, it's never quite had a good remastering. There has been a version on the iOS and Android, I think circa 2009. There was a later version on, I believe, DSiWare just before the 3DS came out. But this, in my eyes, looks to be the first very well done version. It's got nice 3D graphics, and it looks to be holding up that brutal aspect of, you know, moving across Oregon, getting supplies, making sure all your people survive, making sure you have the resources. Do you feel like this has been put together well, Al, or is that just me?
I think I'm agreeing with you. It does a really interesting blend of 3D graphics and pixel art. It's a weird combination, but it works very, very well. It's gorgeous. It's sort of taking hints and big nods towards the fact that this is an old great game, but making it, as you say, a modern title. And in the press release from Gameloft, they've described it as the official successor to the global phenomenon. And they basically say it's taking on an exhilarating journey ranging from the historically accurate truly totally extreme, and that's probably how you would describe it, because in the announcement trailer they basically show your wagon exploding a number of times and many people dying of dysentery, which is generally what people will associate with that game, death by dysentery.
Yeah, it's a classic, and is this the same one that's on Apple Arcade, Anton?
Indeed, yeah. So it's having a timed exclusive on Apple Arcade, and then we'll be making its way to Nintendo Switch and Steam later in 2023.
Yeah, it's good. And it's, as I say, I think the people that have played it so far have all said that it's really well done. So I'm really excited for this one on the Switch. I think Switch is a really good platform for it.
Question for you, though. Would you pay $30 for it? Because that's what they're charging.
No. If I'm honest, I would wait for a sale or not pay $30. So, I don't know. What do you think, Anton?
Yeah, I'm fortunate enough to have the Razer Kishi, and then I would maybe even consider doing it on Apple TV and just connecting up a controller, because I've got this Apple Arcade as part of my Apple One. As I take advantage of some other Apple services, I wouldn't actually pay money for Apple Arcades. But as I've got access, I will make my money's worth out of it.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I don't know where I stand on the pricing. It feels too expensive for a sort of a remake of what is, at its bones, a fairly simple game. I feel maybe 20 would have been appropriate. 15 to 20 might have been appropriate, but $30 just seems a bit steep, I think.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At The Gaming Blender, we take randomised genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM. Then that all has to be an action-adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off? The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out The Gaming Blender on all your favourite podcast platforms now.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Interestingly, on Apple Arcade, not paying for it, just as a side issue, they announced this week that Football Manager 2023 Mobile will be on Apple Arcade day one, which is actually going to mean that a lot of people are actually going to sign up, because it's, what, $4.99 a month, and I think if you play a couple of other games, it kind of works out. So, very interesting. But yes, I had a trial of it for a while, and there's some good stuff on there, but, you know, it's not the Switch, so... And it's not the 3DS, which is, you know, as we've discussed already, apparently I'm married to. So next up, we've got Papuya Games and Simon Creative. Sounds like such an oxymoron, just like Simon and Creative together as a name. But
Simon and Garfunkel, my man.
Yes, I know, but like it sounds like, I don't know, like Simon Says and then Creative. I don't know. It's a weird name, but I'm sure Simon is awesome.
No wonder our listeners aren't listening to these episodes. Simon's, just all of our Simons are gone.
Yep.
Yeah. Simon Says, don't listen to the Nintendo Switch UK podcast.
Hey, caramba.
Anyway, they've announced Little Witch Nobita for the Western Nintendo Switch market. It's published by Idea Factory International. It's an anime fantasy third-person shooter, and it's coming out in spring 2023. Will you be springing to buy it, Alistair?
To be fair, this is an interesting game. It's not often that I say this is interesting, because you see so many clones and so many things all look the same. But this one is, it's sort of a third-person, first-person anime shooter. It's a bit fun, to be honest. You're playing as a witch, and you're basically shooting things, but instead of using a gun, you're using your stick to fire, I think, magic spells at increasingly outrageous monsters. And I don't dislike this. As shooters go, this looks like the kind of shooter I might actually play. Not because I'll be any good at it, but it's just, it's a different take. It's taking the FPS, but then third party, and into an unusual genre where you'd normally be doing as sort of a, you know, like an RPG or a dungeon crawler. This is fun, I think. Anton?
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. You know, if this was just an RPG in this world, I would have been like, oh, it's been done a thousand times. But purely by the fact of transitioning it into a third person shooter, it's offering a fresh new perspective on a kind of established form. And it's almost uncanny seeing characters move around this very familiar world, but in a new way. It almost looks like a VR chat, more so than the traditional dungeon crawling RPGs it's based on, Mike. It's an interesting one.
Yeah, we don't see this art style often in this genre, and I think that's what's slightly different about it. But it's, no, I'm like you, both of you. I think this looks really, really good. And I love the bit in the, if you've watched the trailer at the beginning, where the witch is walking into the sort of the castle, and it just looks really nice. It gives me like vibes of anime stuff, and then there's a bit of Fable in there, and there's a bit, it's just very, very cool. It's, I think this could be a really decent title. And I hope that it's well reviewed and the Switch version is good. So we shall see. Next up, Vector Park have announced Windowsill. I mean, yeah, this one sounds a bit...
He's giggling because is it called Windowsill, but it's not spelt like a windowsill. There's a W
well,
missing.
It's not. Thank you for framing that one correctly and not being too much of a pain. But it's from the Nintendo Switch, and it's... Window, Windosill. It's published by Humble Bundle. It's a point-and-click puzzle game based around odd visuals, coming out on the 11th of November, which is in a few days' time. Anton, will you be puzzling your way through this one?
I think at a fair price, I am very inclined to play this one. It is a classic Flash game from the distant, distant past. And usually when we've had ex-Flash games ported to Nintendo Switch, it's like, oh wow, you know, this is a classic game. And then you look at it and you're like, wow, it still kind of looks like a Flash game, and that doesn't age as gracefully as other old genres. Like, I really enjoyed the Elastomania game. It is but ugly. But this game, I'm like, it's some art. It's got a really well-done visual aesthetic. It almost reminds me of just some of the art that you see coming out of Procreate. And the fact that the art actually plays into the gameplay and the puzzles and the kind of just visual oddity of it, it surprisingly looks and feels like a contemporary title. I'm very impressed with the job they've done here, but it's every bit the classic game that it was.
Yeah, it's amazing. It does look like they've made this as a new game in 2022 instead of the original 2009 game that it was. And it's held up, as you say, remarkably well. And I like this game. It's influenced a lot of people. There's actually quite a few big name games out there who have cited this one specifically as one of the inspirations, including Monument Valley, Donut Country, and Black, if you remember Black. There were a lot of people that rated this game at the time, and it's now coming back to a great console that we all know and love, the Nintendo Switch. Mike.
Sorry, just to interrupt, my television just turned itself on. How?
This is the most professional episode of the Nintendo Switch podcast we have ever had.
Listen, you know when I'm back on, and there's nobody listening anyway, so it's fine. So, yes, I don't know. That was surreal. Very strange. Anyway, yes, I don't actually know this game. Yeah, well, I suppose we've just had Halloween, haven't we? So I don't know this game, and having looked at it, yes, I think this is the kind of thing I would definitely play. Again, it's going to be a price for me, but do we know how much it is? Because it's only out in a few days, so we should probably have that information fairly to hand. Do we have it to hand is the question. Ooh. I've got to kind of put the pressure on there. I'm going to do the same.
Mad Googling. $2.99 on Steam.
Yeah, get there.
Which?
And okay, $8.99 on Nintendo Switch.
Oh! Yeah.
Now, the good thing about $8.99 games is they often will drop. So I'm hoping that will be the case. I think get yourself on Deku Deals, D-E-K-U Deals. And if you like that one, add it to your shortlist and you'll know when it comes down in price, because I think that is a bit steep for it. But it's kind of cool. It's kind of cool that it's on the Switch. Just, you know, maybe a little expensive. Next up, Vijuda have announced Super Woden GP for the Nintendo Switch. It's published by East Asia Soft. It's an isometric racing game, so your old school kind of look of top-down isometric, kind of fun. Coming out the 9th of November, it's $10.99, so in a few days' time. I have good memories of some really old school, when I started gaming, sort of old school isometric style racers. And there are some really good ones out there. Visually, I think this one looks pretty good. I'd just be interested to see how it plays. I'm going to come to you first, because I know you are our resident racer. What's your take on this?
I mean, I'm always going to be smitten by these things, and I'm not going to lie, I'm smitten by this one too. It maybe isn't the most polished version of this kind of game we've seen out there, but it's certainly holding its own. It's got some really nice lighting effects going on. The cars look nice. The environments are rich and varied. It doesn't look like there's any slowdown from what we've seen in trailers, but that remains to be seen when you actually play the proper game, because let's face it, trailers are always going to be optimized. I think this looks really good fun, and I like the fact you can do multiplayer in there. There's a huge roster of cars. There's something like, I don't know, 80 or 70 in that region of vehicles out there to unlock. They're all customizable, change of paint jobs, all the usual stuff you'd expect from these kinds of games. It looks like a bundle of fun, and I'm looking forward to getting my hands on Super Woden GP when it comes out.
Yeah, it's a nice throwback, and you know, East Asia Soft's done quite a bundle of these kind of odd mini racing titles. I believe they did the kind of physical release of Rush Rally when that got some ports, and this is another one to add to the repertoire. I'm a little bit skeptical, as not the hugest fan of isometric racing games, so I think this will be one for the more diehard fans, but it's a lovely addition. And
one for the oldies, is what you're saying.
One for the men with grey beards like me.
You know, that's one way of saying it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, moving on then. Ubisoft have shared details on the Mario Rabbids Sparks of Hope Season Pass. DLC 1 is the Tower of Doom. It's going to be Season Pass exclusive. You face your doom in a new combat game mode coming out early 2023. DLC 2 will be Heroes Confront a Mysterious Foe on a new enchanting planet. That's going to be mid-2023. And then DLC 3 is Rayman, Rabbit Peach and Rabbit Mario embarking on their own adventure coming out late 2023. Interestingly, it's been a funny one, this release, because it's all the kind of magic of the first one. It feels a little bit like it's not quite been recaptured, but the DLC pack, will it be enough to get people who have been maybe holding off on board, Anton?
I think it's got the potential. I think unlike the last season pack for the first Kingdom Battle title, that was very much the Donkey Kong pass. European access to Donkey Kong. Now, this one's doing that a little because the Rayman is the true showstopper here. However, the other DLC packs do look substantial. It seems like the game modes that they're put together, there's a lot of story. The new DLC 2 is quite intriguing. We don't know the most right now, but it seems like they looks like from afar, at least from my eyes, that they're carrying the momentum a little bit further. And it's going to be interesting seeing it when we do get DLC pack 3, the Rayman DLC. It's got Rabbid Peach and Mario, but it won't have any of the actual official Mario characters in that one, at least looking at what they've shared so far. It's going to be an interesting pack to see all come out.
Yeah, it's weird. I have a funny feeling that this game is going to go the same way as the previous one, where it's going to release to a slow burn. It got a lot more hype. It was definitely more hype than the first one was. But personally, I don't know anyone's going out and bought it yet. I suspect everyone is waiting for it to come down in price because we just know it's going to. And I have a funny feeling that in time that this will end up being a very, very well-selling game, just not yet. And this DLC may help that, but from my own personal point of view, and I'm probably the wrong person because I don't buy much DLC anyway, the only one that's vaguely interesting to me there is DLC 2 because it's giving you a whole new adventure, and that's kind of what I want, more of the same game. Not particularly interested in paying for a new game mode, and I'm not particularly interested in paying for a character. I don't know how well the DLCs in the past have done. Don't know how well this one will do, but I do think the game itself is probably going to be a hit in the long run.
Yeah, I would generally tend to agree. Sherlock Holmes The Awakened has a new gameplay trailer for the Nintendo Switch. Am I right in saying, Anton, this was an old 2006 game that's been redone? Because I think this is an older game. But if it's not, I apologise. But I think that it's... It looks good. It looks the Sherlock Holmes games that are on the Switch are actually pretty decent. They're just, I think, sometimes they're a bit pricey, and I think that's going to be the key here, because you're trying to sell them up against, you know, you're trying to like persuade people to play these games against a lot of other titles that people know more about. But will this be the one, Anton, that will get people interested?
You know, it's got some good potential behind it. This is definitely continuing up the ongoing scaling up. As you mentioned, there has been a Sherlock Holmes The Awakened before, and this one is a ground up remake of that title. And technically there is also a remake in there, but it is a ground up remake, and the Sherlock Holmes games have been scaling up progressively for a long, long time recently. And some of their most recent games, like The Sinking City, and some of the most recent, like Crimes and Punishment, etc., etc., have been incredibly impressive games. And at least for myself, this game is pushing it even further, and it's almost a little bit more psychological. It's a lot more abstract than what I've seen the Sherlock Holmes games be like before. It's a very interesting and AAA experience we're getting here.
It's funny, I looked at the trailer for them. They've done the announcement trailer, and it's worth going to watch it and make up your own mind. I watched it. There's obviously, being just the nature of what the story is, there's a lot of fog going on. You're basically in, I suppose, Victorian year. Fog was everywhere. But the game is deliberately foggy for atmosphere. But it does mean that it doesn't actually look that pretty. And in the trailer, there's a scene of a boat going on the river being paddled. And I thought that scene just looked bordering on butt ugly. The wake coming out of the back of the boat just looked like it was just really flat. There was no texture. It wasn't rich. I just thought for a ground-up remake, it was really disappointing. And the rest of it looked fine, but it just looked like it was lacking effort. But I know what you mean about it being a lot more abstract. It sort of looked like something... It looked like I imagined Doctor Who episode to be. Lots of flying things and islands and confusing, mind-bending stuff going on, which I don't normally associate with Sherlock Holmes, but it looked interesting.
It looks like The Sinking City in terms of style, and it's got that kind of vibe about it, you know, that real kind of dark, so they, what they call it, Cthulhu or something like that, that kind of like kind of whole vibe about it. It's weird because I really like investigation type games, but I tend to agree with Al. I probably wouldn't have known that it was a ground up remake had I not known about the game. So it's certainly an interesting one, but I'm going to keep an eye on it because I think gameplay could be key here. Now, it's not often that a game gets a DLC 10 years after its release, but Little Inferno has a new one. It's Ho Ho Holiday. It's got a new story, catalogue, characters, new combos, Infinity Yule Log Mode, or Infinite Yule Log Mode, and new languages. A game that's very well reviewed, very well revered, Anton, and DLC 10 years down the line, fair play, I guess.
Yeah, this is always one of these games I'm like, oh yeah, remember Little Inferno? And for good reason. It is a classic indie game. It was originally out on the Wii U and then got ported to other devices, so it makes perfect home on Nintendo Switch when you have access to the touchscreen. Now, on the surface of it, it has... You know, it looks like you're just burning stuff and seeing all the reactions. But the actual storytelling that was done in the original game through you just setting fire to things is surprisingly engaging. And, you know, how long it's been since they've even really done anything to this game. It's bizarre that they're not just remaking it with a DLC at this point, to be honest. It's remarkable, and I hope... that the fact that they've went ahead and put together this DLC and have a new story is that they have a story worth telling. It seems almost odd to wait this long to do it poorly. I could imagine waiting this long to do it poorly if you were porting it. But I'm very, very intrigued to see what they put together here because it is a lovely title from a day gone by.
Yeah, it's a really, really interesting way to do it. I mean, this game was released pretty much at launch on Switch. It came out in 2017 that we got our port. So they're now following it up 5 years after that release, 10 years after the original release. But I've got to say, the expansion looks really, really good. And as you say, this was a critically acclaimed game at the time. And I love the fact that they've decided to follow it up with something. They've clearly just had an idea. They've wanted to go, you know what? Let's not do a whole new game. We don't need to do that. Let's just do some DLC, put it out there, and hope that people enjoy it. And I hope it's up to scratch.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's great when old games, especially ones that people have really loved, good indie titles as well, get new DLC later on. And just, yeah, just adds to the life of it. So it makes a lot of sense. Next up, Kando 1-2 have shared a new teaser trailer of Star Fox EX. Don't get too excited. It's a new ROM hack featuring added full pre-game mod menu, in-game pause menu, two-player mode, 2 and 4 player CPU mode, new ships, new weapons, new views, new fourth course, new game plus feature, endurance run code, level features code, god mode code, and full camera control. Very impressive, Alf.
It is. It really is, actually. I don't know how they managed to hack into the original code and start to build all this, but the developers got a project which they've been trying to get people to follow them and to contribute to and just generally enjoy, where they are taking the original Star Fox, this is the one that was on the Super Nintendo or the Super Famicom, and they're hacking it to bits and adding in a whole lot of new content. I don't know how long this project will survive. I'm just waiting for Nintendo to shut it down because it's Nintendo and they will... But for now, my hat is off to them. This is a power of work, and it looks really good what they've done so far.
Indeed, this is a baby out of the big Nintendo leak from a couple years back, where as of that leak, they leaked the full source code for this game, and it's right down to the metal coding. They've not had to compile things. They haven't had to extrapolate and add on where they think it is. They've had the raw code to put this all together. And it's an interesting child of this modern era of Nintendo modding, where the Nintendo banhammer has came down so hard that the solution these days is you keep it in darkness and then chuck it out into the ether and then run away and then let everybody else distribute the final version rather than kind of having it cancelled in the development stages. And result of that is they've actually seemingly put together a lot of work in making this a polished experience. I checked out the creator's Twitter, and there seems to be like open beta sting via Discord, where, you know, you get into the server, you get part of the circle, you get your version, you beta test, people are reporting bugs. So this ROM hack that's coming here is going to be incredibly polished, and I think features like having a CPU mode is an example of that. We get many games where there's multiplayer mods, but the going the extra stage to have a multiplayer mod and then having CPU multiplayer on top of that for people that don't have friends but still want to experience this multiplayer Star Fox experience. Aww. It's incredible. Like, that's unprecedented.
Yeah, very, very cool. And it blows my mind how people can do these things, and fair play to them. It's very impressive. Okay, it's time to speed things up then, and it's time for Turbo Mode.
Yes.
As always, I'm going to fire through a bunch of stories, come to you for the ones that you've really been interested in, and I'll give you my thoughts as well. So Pikmin Bloom is now 1 year old. May has been temporarily removed from Overwatch 2. The Pokemon Company have loosely announced a Puma shoe collection for both adults and kids. So you can get yourself a pair of Pika shoes. Unpacking has sold 1 million copies. That was all right.
That was quite good. Well done.
Thank you. Square Enix has shared a second trailer for Octopath Traveler 2. Various Daylife is going to get a physical release. The Switch has surpassed total Xbox One sales in the UK. Front Mission First Remake has a release date of the 16th of November. It's going to be $34.99. Casio have announced a G-Shock Super Mario Bros. The DW5600S MB4 is going to come out on the 11th of November for £129. Princess Peach, voice actor for the Super Mario Bros. Movie, Anya Taylor-Joy, has dressed as her character for Halloween. Blood Bowl 3 is getting a new trailer, and a release date of the 23rd of February, but the Nintendo Switch version will come later. Mega Man 11 is now the best-selling Mega Man of all time. It's the mega-est of the Mega Men, with a 1.6 million units sold across all platforms. My Nintendo store in Japan, Canada, and North America has added keychains for each team in the coming Splatfest, featuring Sprigatito, Fuecoco, and Quoxley.
Well done, Mike. Well done. Good job. You made it through. Good job.
Thank you. I mean, I have two more stories, but thank you. Sonic Frontiers gets a new showdown trailer, a two-part digital comic prologue, Convergence, and a prologue cartoon, Divergence. Redout 2 has a summer pack DLC, adding 4 new Caribbean-themed race tracks, 29 events, 30 cosmetic features, and elements, and it's out now for £8.59. We made it to the end. Al, which one's caught your eye?
Well, I mean, the applause there was for pronouncing those three names. That was impressive.
I know it was, but I was on a roll. I didn't want to like stop for too long.
Fair dues. I will leave you and Anton to talk about Sonic Frontiers because that's very much your baby. I am, however, going to have a rant about Casio. I mean, it was only last week, 2 weeks ago. I know. We were talking about watches coming out that were costing, was it 50,000 or 10,000? There was eye-wateringly expensive watches that were released with the Nintendo branding on them. So this one, at £129, is nowhere near as egregious. It's a much more reasonably priced, in inverted commas, digital watch. But let's face it, this is still a Casio digital watch that they're charging you £129 for with some Mario branding on it. I mean, this is obscene. Just stop buying these things and they will stop making them. Anyway, it doesn't even actually look particularly Mario-y. If you look closely, there's a little shell on it and the strap's got some sort of pixely Mario on it. But you wouldn't look at it and instantly go, oh yeah, that's Mario. It's just, it annoys me as a product. It annoys me it exists. It annoys me it's so lazily designed, and it annoys me how much you're charging for a stupid Casio digital watch that should be 15 quid.
All right, I have thoughts on that, but I'm going to wait till my turn. What else would you like to talk about?
Okay. On top of that, the Front Mission First remake, I think, is looking quite good. I think I'll actually buy this, to be fair. It's a shame that I'm unlikely to buy it, because it's not often we get these games over in the West. They're generally just kept for the Eastern Japanese market. This one looks really pretty. It's mech battling mech. It should be really good, but it's kind of turn-based mech battling mech, and that's slightly less exciting than when it's, you know, real time. But it's probably worth checking out. If you've not seen the trailer, go and have a look at that. And the other one I wanted to pull up was Blood Bowl 3. I have never heard of Blood Bowl. I don't know what Blood Bowl 1 and 2 were on, if they're any good. I don't know if this one will be any good, but it's definitely piqued my attention because it looks so pretty and so stupid and so dumb. It's basically great big monsters in a stadium, I think playing American football loosely, with, you know, a giant monster coming along eating one of your players halfway through. There's just much carnage and violence of the monster kind, and I think it looks brilliant, frankly. And that's all I wanted to pick out. That's me. I'm done. I've had a rant and I've had a happiness moment. It's good.
All right. Well, I'll give you mine next then, because there's a couple of things there that you mentioned that I want to touch on. And I'll start with the Blood Bowl 3 trailer, which looks really good. I do know the Blood Bowl series. And there is a game on the Switch which already does this very similarly, and that is Mutant League Football, or Mutant Football League as it's called on the Switch. There was a, it was a remake of the old SNES game, I think, with a slightly different title and slightly redone, I think, probably for rights reasons. And I have that one, and it's good, but this looks a step up. And it's Blood Bowl. It's slightly different, but it's, I really liked Mutant Football League. I think it's a really well done American football, ridiculous monster kind of things coming at you. But this looks like they've taken it to like hell. It looks like it's set in hell. It's got this real kind of darkness about it. It's cool. It looks a lot of fun. Also, The Watch. That one was really interesting to me because I love the idea of that. I love Casio watches. I have several of them. But like you, Al, I'm probably not going to pay £130 for it. And also, I didn't actually like the design. I think that's the key to it. I would love a Mario Bros. G-Shock Casio watch. I just don't like it. I don't like the colours. I don't like... Yeah, I'm not keen on it, which is a real shame. If it was 15 quid, like you said, I'd buy it because I'm a sucker for collecting stupid things. What else? There was one other one I was going to mention as well. Oh, Sonic Frontiers, yes. Really interested to see how this is... We still don't really know what's going to happen when this comes out. People are going to love it. Are they going to hate it? Is it going to be the best one ever? Is it going to be the worst one ever? I don't know, but it looks fun. And then finally, Unpacking. I did play a little bit of it, and it's quite fun. It's a kind of fun, silly game. I think the bit I liked about it was that there's a mode where you don't have to like work against the timer. That was kind of cool. Made it a lot more relaxing than, say, Overcooked, which can get stressful. Had a couple of guests here, and they were both playing it, having never played it before, when I came downstairs after putting children to bed. And I was like, ah, this looks fun. So how'd it go? Yeah. So there we are. That's my summarization of the Turbo Mode this week. Anton?
Yeah, similarly, have really, really loved Unpacking. We've got a review on our YouTube if you're not familiar with the title. And it also won our Indie Game of the Year for 2021. So do check out our award special if you're interested. This is a fun one because that I do feel sorry for the devs behind Red Alt 2. They've been probably slaving away, and we've got their summer DLC pack in the middle of November. You know, I would have just saved that a year personally, but I'm no business person, so what do I know? And yeah, I'm delighted to see Mega Man is alive and well. You know, it was kind of a bit of an odd one doing Mega Man 11. It was a bit of a departure from all of the other mainline Mega Man games, 1 through 10, and, you know, it's came out, it's been well, it's a great title, and I hope they continue on that classic Mega Man lineage. And yeah, similarly, Sonic Frontiers, the redemption arc this game has went on from the IGN previews where the person didn't know which way up a controller goes and played it awfully and everybody thought the gameplay looked really bad because they didn't know how to play a video game, to this most recent trailer, which seems to be universally praised and loved, and the comic was very well received, and the prologue cartoon is bizarrely toned. It plays itself straight and seriously and works with little Red Echidna boy. Wow, that's impressive. So the jury will be out tomorrow on November 7th, the day after this podcast goes live, so interested to see what the final reception on that
tomorrow?
Is
I knew it was very soon. I didn't realize it was actually that soon. So I'm very excited to see, because this is the Sonic game that might get me back into, well, not back into them. I still play Sonic games, but it might be the one that restores my faith, or it might be the one that destroys it. Mm. It's going to be one or the other. There is no middle ground with this one, Anton. It's got to be good.
Indeed. And I think now that the franchise is more of a multimedia property, or more successfully a multimedia property than ever, with the rebooted IDC comics, the Sonic the Hedgehog movies, which are doing fantastic, the new Sonic Prime cartoon on Netflix, it is in a prime position for a full Sonic renaissance. Can they go for 4 and succeed in the video game realm where it should and belongs?
Well, let's face it. It's where it comes from. It really, if we're going to succeed somewhere with Sonic, it should be in video games, but let's see. We will be talking about it next week, I have no doubt whatsoever. Okay, it's time for our one single rumour.
Now, I'm not normally one for gossip, but...
So I'm sure there are more rumours, but we've picked out this one this week to talk about. Now, there's a job listing at Creatures Inc., and it mentions research and development for other next-generation hardware in both Unity and Unreal Engine. So that is interesting. So, do we think then, Al, that devs are getting information that it's time to develop games for something that's coming soon, or is this a precautionary, we're going to start looking at this now?
It's an interesting one. I mean, we are in the middle of the Switch life cycle. We're not quite in the middle of the PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X cycle yet, but we could be. So it's not a million miles off the realms of possibility to be thinking that most development houses might be having one eye to what the next few technologies are going to be. And if they're going to be coding in Unity and Unreal, they're known platforms. It's just a question of how you get the most out of technology. It's an R&D role, so you're not going to be seeing anything come out of this anytime soon. And we already kind of knew what the specs were going to be for the Switch Pro, because they were kind of leaked last year. It just didn't materialize for whatever reason. I can't imagine that they're going to be greatly changing them if they'd already started to manufacture them, but maybe they hadn't started manufacturing. So I'm not getting my hopes up with this. I'm not getting too excited about it, because I doubt it's really going to be leaned towards anything that we are going to benefit from. But Anton, do you have a different opinion?
Yes. It's interesting. I think if it was a couple years earlier, I would be like, you know, it's going to be the next Pokemon game and they've got it coming in the next couple years. But at the moment, you know, it could be anything. They've done a couple bits and pieces outside of the Pokemon space, but not too much. But only time will tell.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I wonder if it is going to be anything. I suspect it will be the next Nintendo hardware. I don't see anything from Sony and Microsoft at this precise moment. So I think that would be the one piece of exciting potential for it. But I'm not sure. I think they're probably just looking to the future. Realistically, what's that now? 5 years of the Switch? Almost 6 years of the Switch, which is the life cycle of most consoles. It's quite incredible how well it's still doing, but definitely worth keeping an eye on. Just before we do move on to the quiz, I just want to mention as well, there's a really good eShop sale on at the moment, and there's some really good deals. Now, I know if you are one of our Patreons, you will get these in detail in our roundup episode that we do every couple of weeks. However, I just want to mention a couple of them. Eastward is currently down to £13.19, and that's the lowest price ever on the eShop, and that is a great game. Owlboy is down to £7.59, another really top game that is super cheap. Wondersong, which I mentioned at the start and really liked, down from £17.99 to £4.49, which is matching its previous low. Civilization 6 is £7.49, and that's a great game with a big history and plays really well on the Switch. I'll give you a couple more as well, just as a kind of ones to check out. There's a game called Ikenfell, which is really well reviewed. It's £8.99 right now. It's half price, and that's the lowest price it's ever been. And I would definitely recommend you check that one out. And final one, I'm going to give you one more. What will I give you? Let's go with Child of Light Ultimate Edition, a game that I have completed. Really enjoyed it. It's £4, which is what it goes to regularly, but I would recommend that one. So there you go.
Excellent. Lovely jumbly. Thank you for that.
Yeah, well, just, you know, making you part with more money. But it is time for the quiz.
I have so many questions.
It is indeed, and Mike is nipping on the heels of Anton still. Anton is on 10 points. Mike is on 8.
That's because I've not shown up for weeks.
You have been in absentia, but we decided not to be mean. We decided not to give Anton sort of just the prize by default every week in your absence. And we waited.
Thank you.
But you're back.
Very, very kind of
which
you.
I'm really, really excited about. So for anyone who maybe has joined the podcast since we last did one of these, because it's been a while, I basically give a hold of clues. These guys have to guess what the game is. If they get it right, they get a point. There's three rounds. The third round is slightly different, but I'll tell you that when we get there. Let's jump into our first game. Now, before we do, I want the actual full name.
Oh, here we go.
You got to be specific. Okay, I'm just saying this up front because you get grumpy every week, Mike. I want the you can't just say sort of whatever name comes, like a bit of the name.
Mario.
I want the name of the game. Clear?
Okay.
Thank you.
Got you. Yes, boss.
Okay, first up, it's a real-time strategy and puzzle game. That's all I'm going to give you. Fire away.
Tetris Effect.
No. That's not real-time strategy.
I know. I forgot about the first part of your sentence. I'm sorry. What did you say? Real-time strategy and puzzle?
Yeah.
Mario and Rabbids, Kingdom Battle.
It is not. This one originally came out in 2008 for the Wii.
For the Wii?
Yep. It was written, before you answer, it was originally announced in 2008 for the Wii. Announced.
Oh, okay. For the Wii. I really don't know where this one is. A real-time strategy game. Is it... what is it? Real-time strategy and what?
And puzzle.
Puzzle. Okay, there's too many genres. It's too confusing.
You'd think mixing the genres would make it easier because you can narrow it down to, there's not many that do that. But yeah, actually, there's quite a few that kind of do RTS and puzzle.
Yeah, it's also just a very specific kind of combination.
I'm going to have to rush you for something. Give me an answer, my man.
Yes, I'm thinking. Give me a second. Anton, you can answer first.
Let's go for Steven Spielberg's Bloomblocks.
It is not. that was very left of field.
I've got a game in my head. I'm trying to remember what it's called, which is really annoying me because it's probably going to be the one. Is it Advance Wars 4?
It's not Advance Wars 4, no. The game was finally released in 2013.
2013?
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to go with something like... real-time strategy and puzzle. Is it Puyo Puyo Tetris?
No,
is it
not.
Steel Divers?
No, it's not. This one builds on its predecessors, however.
Pac-Man 3?
Hey! He got it!
Well, they do love, I could have been here forever.
They do love announced Pikmin games early.
I did wonder when you mentioned Pikmin Bloom earlier on if it might have just stuck in your head. But no, clearly not.
Well, I've never played Pikmin, so good clues. I would never have put the genres together. But yeah, well done, Anton.
Thank you.
I played the demo was free. I presume it is still free on the Switch, and I played that and I actually really enjoyed it. And at the end of it, I thought, oh, I'm going to go and buy that game, and never got around to doing it. And now, of course, Pikmin 4 has been announced. So
I think I'm lying. I think I did actually play that demo. I don't think it was for me, but I thought it was good. I just never really thought about buying it. So.
Well, all is not lost yet. Anton's got the first point, but there's another point up for grabs. Mm-hmm. So,
okay, let's do it.
Jump in the second game, released in 2000 on the PlayStation, the original PlayStation. Mm-hmm.
2000 on the PlayStation.
It's all you've got to go
by. Gran Turismo.
It is not Gran Turismo.
Is it Alien Resurrection?
No. Remastered ports of this have since been released on iOS and Android in 2016, and then Windows later in the same year. The Windows port was then released on the PlayStation 4 in 2017, and then on the Switch, the Xbox One in 2019. Oh, and it was also playable on the PS3, the PSP, the PS Vita via the PlayStation Store. You could play this game in a lot of places.
Final Fantasy VII.
Nope.
Let's go Final Fantasy IX just to cover bases.
He's got it in again! It was Final Fantasy IX! Mom, Mike, I'm sorry, you were so close!
Thank you, though.
I mean, I could have waited for you to go 8 and then for Mike to go 9, but you jumped right to 9. Well done.
too early. Few games on that console.
Ah, I know, but as soon as I said that, I thought, it's not, but it is. Oh, that's so disappointing, because I thought I actually did quite well to pick out Final Fantasy, let alone anything else.
You did. When you said it, I was inside, I was eating myself up, like, no, I've got to say no to him, it's not the answer. Ah!
Well, you never stipulated on the second question that also had to be exactly right, so...
Nope, not buying it, nope.
Right, come on then, let's do this.
All right, see if you can redeem yourself. Before I give you any hint, do you want to go first or second for the closest to the flag? So I'll say a game. Mike and Anton, let's see what year it came out.
You know what? Because I've nothing to lose, I will go first.
You're going
to
go first. Okay, what year did Pinocchio come out?
I want to be a real boy. Pinocchio, the movie?
Not the movie, but it's a game based on the movie, and it did. Given the fact you probably don't know when the movie came out, it did come out 56 years after the movie did.
I actually do roughly know when the movie came out, so you've just helped me. So 56 years after, so I'm going to say... No, it doesn't help me that much because I can't really remember.
Yeah, there's no way you know off the top of your head what year Pinocchio came out.
But I think you don't. I think you're underestimating. 1996.
Anton?
I'm going to go 95. I think it
maybe in that Disney renaissance of good Disney games.
You're both very, very close. In fact, one of you is so close you're on the ear, and that is Mike. Hey! 1996. Did you work that out, or was that a guess?
Yes. Yes, I was sure that Pinocchio was around 1940, so I went for 1940 and added 56.
Wow, I am impressed.
Otherwise, I'd have gone for 1980 something. I know my Disney dates. I'm sorry, you're speaking to the wrong person here.
I mean, well done, good job, GG. Mike. That is seriously impressive stuff.
Yeah, but it would have been better if you'd asked that first, and then I could have then got Final Fantasy IX. And basically, if I'd got the answers right and Anton got them wrong, I'd have won and I'd have been much happier. But Anton, you did really well.
Thank you. It's okay.
Yes, was that 11-8?
It is 11-8, yes. But it's still within reach. Right. I mean, what are we at? We're at the 6th of November. We've got another, roughly 5 weeks of episodes, maybe 6 weeks of episodes to go before the end of the year. You can redeem yourself still.
We can do
There's
it.
Time.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm good with that. No, well done, Anton. It was well-deserved, particularly for the first one, because I would never have got Pikmin 3, to be honest. That is about it for this week. It's been lovely to be back. Once again, a huge thank you to you for listening, also to everyone who has supported us on Patreon. If you want to be one of our Patreons and come and join us and do all sorts of fun stuff, like get extra podcasts and join us on gaming nights like we had the other night and all that fun stuff, head to nsukp.co.uk and then it's /support-us. I will try and get my podcast set up back in action for the next episode so that you don't hear every little noise in the background of my mobile phone recording. However, Anton, have you got anything that you'd like to add before we finish?
Yeah, I think you've very well appropriately shared the Discord and Patreon there. If you want to learn more about everything else we do, do head over to nsukp.co.uk. We have links to our Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. That's all NSUK podcasts. We do videos. And if you also want to send us a little email, that would be podcast@nsukp.co.uk.
Fantastic. I couldn't say it better myself. So all I'm going to say is, Mike, I think we should wrap up.
All right, in that case, we'll see you again soon. Goodbye.
Cheerio.
Au revoir.